Good evening and welcome to the conference call to comment the results of the first 9 months 2015 of F.I.L.A. S.p.A. We remind you to press star 1 in order to make a reservation for your questions. Massimo Candela, CEO, Luca Pelosin, CEO, and CFO, Mr. Stefano De Rosa, are here. Now the floor is to Massimo Candela, CEO, F.I.L.A. The conference has just started. All the participants are connected, so we can start the meeting. Good evening to all of you. I apologize for the misunderstanding. The line is not that clear. First of all, I am happy to say that the results quarter by quarter are improving, confirming our best expectations compared to the beginning of this year. We are doing much, much better than expected, according to the expectation to the analysts. For F.I.L.A. And I believe that these results are not a coincidence. I believe that this is a consolidation process. The process has been going on for a few years, and throughout years of difficult times, F.I.L.A. has grown by 3-4%, and in the last 2 years, we have accelerated our growth. I believe this is the result of a sustainable competitive edge, long-term sustainable. We have invested a lot on our brands and also in the long term. Let's say that at the moment we are chosen by customers, I would say everywhere in the world, because the performance is the result of a uniform growth all over the world. And this is a kind of a unique phenomenon, because we don't have special areas. We have a kind of a spread out, homogeneous growth, and also the expectations for the next time to come are good. The main point is that the results of the third quarter, it is true we have over 20% growth because of the euro, but this is the real growth is a little bit lower. The EBITDA grows the same, and there is no effect from the foreign exchange rates, because we have always tried to find some balance in the exposition between the dollar and the euro in our revenues. So over 20% EBITDA is the result of the efficiency of the revenues, of the sales that we are making all over the world. For what concerns the outlook of the year, I believe we are in November, so we shouldn't have any surprises before the end of the year, of the financial year. So it is true that having such a solid internal growth, the decision to go in the spa segment of the Italian, in the star segment of the Italian stock exchange, will be a good decision. We have to consider India. We had a 50% call at the end. At the end, we closed the operation, acquiring the majority. And I think the company in the next few years is getting more and more core in our organization. So it is evident that taking control will have an important strategic value. But apart from India, the impact, the fact that we decided to go on the Italian stock exchanges to finalize some acquisitions, the sector is moving fast. There are many competitors with very disappointing results. A lot of discussions are open, so we are focusing for the future. We will be focusing in order to make excellent results. I think this could be an introduction on my side, and then I will leave space to questions. I would like to invite the participants to go on page 4 of our presentation. So in order to read numbers in higher detail, I would like to point out that the revenues for the first 9 months is 217.8 million. So there is a plus 18.4 increase compared to 2014. You see 183.9 million. When we talk about the organic growth, that's net of FX, which was 14 million, mainly in the US area. And also the M&A effect, because I remind you that we have Industria Mineri, which was acquired last year, consolidated starting from the 1st of April 2014. So net of the FX and the M&A effect, as you can see, the organic growth is plus 9.7%. The growth confirms also the growth we recorded in the first half of the year, North America. And I'm talking especially about Dixon USA. They confirmed a growth higher than the first semester, now 18%. And then South America has 10% growth. And let's say Europe and Italy is plus 9%. A difference compared to the first semester is the we had mentioned it during the presentation of the first half of the year. Also, South America and Mexico, especially Mexico, because of the effect of the increase, because of the better and the best sales mix on the local market. Talking about North America, the growth came from, you know, by confirming the school campaign, the good results of the school campaign, and there was also an increment, being a kind of a fresh market, the company confirmed the increment of the market share compared to our competitors and also private label. In Italy, growth 9%, quite significant, and this occurred for all products transversally, and especially on paste, on the DAW segment, and color pencils. So talking about families of products, the U.S. growth consolidated the increment of pencils with an increment 102%. Compared to the first 9 months of 2014, and also other creative instruments, especially felt tip pens and watercolors and brushes. So we have to underline that the revenues from the Indian company are not included yet in these figures, but on page 12, so jumping, let's say, going to page 12, you will see that the increase from the Indian company compared to the first 9 months of 2014 is 50%. So plus 20 plus 41 million euros. Talking about families, I would say that the most important family remains pencils, Dixon USA. The second family is creative instruments, 45%. A slight drop for office and industrial instruments. Talking about the geographical areas, the geographical breakdown, European, 3%, Italy, 60%. So 56 million revenues, secondary USA with 35% in growth, growing, and South, Central and South America, 19% of revenues, and Mexico is plus 75% of these revenues. So Mexico is the third area, significant area for the group. Now going to page 5, you see the EBITDA, which went up to 40.9 million in the first 9 months of 2015. The EBITDA grows by 20.9% compared to the 33.9 million of 2014. It is more than proportional than organic turnover growth. And this is due also to 35% fixed cost level, so there is more the effect of the growth. And also we have to say that the better incidence of EBITDA in this first 9 months compared to the 9 months from last year, this is due to a better sales mix in this 9 months of 2015, and also to the consolidation of some startups that are improving compared to the first 9 months of last year in terms of results. The Forex effect was reduced, as Massimo was mentioning. I remind you that we have Mexican peso, the US dollar, and the renminbi, the Chinese currency. Compared to last year, the last 9 months of last year, the effect, the US dollar has gone down by going up 13%. The Mexican peso has remained basically stable, 3% increase, and the renminbi went up by 17%. So being dollars, renminbi, and peso, the effect is lower than 1%, the Forex, so it's a very minimal, very small effect. Talking about the normalization, this year we have about 3 million of extraordinary costs in line with last year. Last year, the extraordinary costs mainly referred to operations, M&A operations. This year, of course, the 3 million refer for the first part of the year to the operation with Stay, the merge with Stay, and now in the last quarter, we had, you know, costs due to the move from the MIV to the STAR segment of the stock exchange. Talking about the net income, in September 2015, you see plus 21% compared to the first 9 months 2014, which was 17.1 million. We have to say that, of course, as I mentioned earlier, the result, the normalization, we have to carry out a normalization from the merge operation. And there is also another effect, which is a total cashless operation, which is the purchase of the Indian company, part of the amount that was supposed to be used for the acquisition. So it was 0.4 million euros related to the WFPL deal. The normalization, no market warrant, which is exactly the same as in June. So there is no effect at all. In September 2015, we have a slightly tax rate than in 2014. And this is because the negative effects that we had pointed out in the first semester 2015 were diluted somehow, because we had two main effects, which were the deferred taxes weighed in the balance sheet because they referred to a recovery of tax losses from Germany. With the merge at the beginning, they were not recovered. And another effect was the ACE effect. And this year, this will not be included in the year completely because the first 6 months, the ACE effect, so-called ACE effect, was included in the equity because it belongs to the first 6 months, so it cannot be in the statement. So these two effects that had been estimated as benefit were, you know, important for the first 6 months, and that the effect was diluted. Now, going to page six, talking about the normalized net debt in 2015, first 9 months, you see 94.9 million. So there is a worsening, let's say, in absorption compared to 36.5 million from December. December, we were 58.4 million. Our company suffers from a seasonal sales effect. And if you remember the net debt, the first 6 months had 62 million, so it was higher than the one showed in September. So, of course, the financial position, our financial position has tends to improve in certain parts of the year, and the maximum peak, absorption peak, is during the first semester and September. So the 36 million absorption can be explained with a net operating cash flow of 28 million euros, investments, and also 5.7 million investments, and also interest paid for 3 million euros. So basically, there is a worsening by about 20 million compared to the cash flow of the first 9 months in 2014. And it is the same worsening that we recorded also during the first semester. So it remained constant, although the net working capital has improved. We went from 191 to 168 million euros. So I would like to thank you for your attention, and we are now ready to answer to all questions. We remind the participants you should press star 1 in order to make a reservation for your question. Please, Alessandro Checchini, Equita. Good evening. Good evening to all of you. I have a few questions. The first one on the organic growth of revenues in the third quarter, because as a matter of fact, by making some calculations, during the first 6 months, the organic growth was plus 5, so it was a good trend, and it was kind of a discrete. In the third quarter, the growth, organic growth, was plus 20%, so the first question is, could you explain, maybe with some more details, this kind of boost, let's say this explosion of organic growth, and then what are your expectations in terms of organic growth for the fourth quarter? So what are you seeing going on the market? Then the second question about financial charges. If I'm not mistaken, in 9 months you have had about 4 million, 4.6 million, versus the 3.1 million against from last year. So there is something which is not non-recurrent or some items that have to be depurated. So the third question will be on the M&A. If you could explain a little bit better what are the targets you are analyzing for the rest of the year, for 2016. And finally, in view of the excellent results of the adjusted EBITDA of the first 9 months, if you could give us a kind of a number for the full year figure, of course, not taking into consideration the Indian acquisition, Indian consolidation. So the second and the fourth questions, Mr. De Rosa, and the first and the third questions will be my questions. So in real terms, the growth in the third quarter was not unexpected. If you remember the first of our conference calls in August, on the 6th of August, we mentioned that, as a matter of fact, from the beginning of the year, we had seen a very good growth. But our strength, which is an integrated supply chain, in this case, is, becomes a kind of a limitation as well, because we had to put all our machines, let's say, under pressure. So up to April, May, we did suffer. So we did not provide excellent service to our customers. If you remember, during the first 6 months, we had extraordinary costs related to some air shipment in order to reduce lead time. So the trend of our sales, which is orders that get into invoices, let's say we are in the same line, in the same trend as the beginning of the year, but we did take some months in order to fine-tune, let's say, our supply and our service according to the customer's requests. I don't think that there will be anything special in the next future because we have acquired market shares at the moment. Our products are giving a very great feedback in terms of selling out. So I think that by acquiring market shares, we can be sure that this is a kind of a trend, a stable trend on the market. This is a tendency, let's say, that if we keep going on up to the end of the year, I think I see it also as a stable trend for the next year. Talking about an M&A, this is the same idea. So there are many companies, many competitors that are actually suffering, mainly in terms of profitability, in terms of the strategic view, and these are our direct competitors. And then there is also our strategy of integrating our positions in the school field with also in the art and craft sector. So both sectors, they have the same characteristics, for example, brand awareness, stability. Both businesses can be for us great challenges and great occasions and opportunities in terms of the supply chain. So we have different targets. Also the art and craft. At the moment, our investigation, research, and also the trend, we want to make acquisitions, so we are strong. Of course, there are some variable factors, for example, competitors, a discussion on the target. But let's say if we can extend our time view into the next 15 months, I think we will be able to make a couple of extraordinary operations because they will be both significant. And also, this is a family ownership, sometimes on the market, sometimes there are reactions that are, you know, less foreseeable, let's say, investors. So, you know, if you want to see an acquisition before the end of the year as investor, you could be disappointed. But let's say if you have a medium term, let's say 18 months, I think our investors will be extremely satisfied because the market is going towards a concentration. Now the questions, second and fourth question. So I will, the interest is in line. If you look at the cash flow, is 3 million cash out this year, same as last year. Let's say that the use of the working capital, especially Mexico, with a very big warehouse, very high warehouse, also because they started the cider sled production, which was shifted over time. So they had some warehouse. They made some specific investments in order to start production in full operation. Of course, this implied something more than expected. So it increased interest, especially talking about Mexico. What you see in our balance sheet, that difference in the exchange rates for financial investments, we have some companies that are financed locally in euros, Turkey, and also Russia. And also Mexico has some lines that are in dollars. So there are some differences because of the, but it is a cashless effect on the cash flow, which is again in line with last year's. Okay. And the fourth question was, well, in view of the excellent trend you have had in the last 9 months, adjusted EBITDA close to 41 million, a kind of an approximated view for the full year, of course, without the consolidation of India. So we confirm a double-digit growth and revenues and also the consolidation. I think Massimo later on will also additionally confirm my remarks. In our sector, at the end of September, let's say games are, we have already played the game. So the position full year will be more or less in line with September figures because, of course, exchange rate can play a little bit, a little difference. Some customers will have deliveries in December or January, but let's say by the end of September, our year has been completed. So very good growth, 9 months, and the fourth quarter in organic growth top line, I think 9% will be consistent, the 9% we have seen on the 9 months. Yes, because we should not have any problems with delivery anymore. And the first quarters were a little bit behind according to the market demand. Now we are aligned with the market. And I think I had mentioned before, yes, we didn't stress it. So that's why we are highlighting it now. At the moment, there are no other questions. I remind the participants again to press star and one to make a reservation. Another question, Gabriele Berti, Banca IMI. Good afternoon, good evening to all of you. Just thank you for your presentation. I have a question. What are the benefits in strategic terms of the Indian operation, the Indian deal? Well, it's difficult to choose because the market is a market growing 15-20% spontaneous growth. So with this trend, with this growth trend, will become one of the first, the two most important markets of the world in absolute terms in the next few years. So in order to be their protagonist with a company that grows even more than competitors on the market, 50%, I would say that this is a great opportunity. If I imagine in the next 5-6 years, it can become our first market in the world. This is my first remark. And then the strategic relevance, India, unlike China, is not has not duties. So they have a trade agreement with the U.S., for example. They have, you can supply efficiently, for example, Brazil or Mexico. So for us, it is a kind of an important factor in terms of risk differentiation, you know, compared to China or Mexico, and it is a very competitive alternative in terms of costs, in terms of quality. So the company has a kind of a scenario of alternatives, let's say different options, whatever problem we may have, like political crisis, monetary shocks, or, you know, imagining all different difficulties and changing scenarios at world level. Now we have a great, when I say that we have a sustainable competitive edge, we can afford having a backup productions in our ideal supply chain. So I would say that costs that, you know, do not jeopardize, for example, our results, but on the contrary, they make us even more competitive compared to our competitors that live in the short, operate in the short term. And then also the access to strategic raw materials like wood. India, Mexico, and China, we have access to raw materials. And since there is a kind of a limitation on raw materials, the fact that we can access such large quantities of raw materials, this is fundamental and crucial for our future. Thank you. There are no other questions at the moment. Giada Gabrino, Banca Akros, good afternoon and good evening to all of you. My question is for Italy. If I am not wrong, you have increased your market share in Italy. I was wondering, how did you do that? New agreements, for example, with the large distribution channels, or maybe you have chosen different channels in order to increase sales in Italy. So it's one question, how did you increase your Italian sales? Well, actually, the growth in Italy is even more sensational because last year was the lowest moment, let's say, in the Italian economy, and we had 20%. So I don't think we did anything special, no special agreements, but simply the distribution is going through crisis for different reasons, because they have no openings. So the kind of dope, the new openings have stopped. Now the wholesale model is also going through a crisis. So the customers, finally, they decided to give space to companies that guarantee continuity for the future. They have a product turnover, they have better margins. So both large distribution, somehow they have reduced the presence of their private labels. And then also important markets, for example, the German competitors. Well, I think this year is actually going towards the right directions because we are acquiring important market shares from the competitors in a stable market. Giorgio Martorelli, Amber Capital. Good evening. First of all, congratulations for your results. Yes, we met a few days ago, yes. A couple of questions. The first one on the organic growth. What is the market growth and what is the market share gain? You are gaining market share in the different regions. So what are your expectations for the future? From what I see, you grow even more than the market. And the second question, are there any scale economies or efficiency improved margins since you can acquire market shares in different regions? So distribution or other parts of the business, can we expect the increase in the market shares in different countries? Can we also expect an increased margin? Thank you for your question. I am quite confident for the forecast, for the expectations, for the entire group, because the what we are doing, it's, well, actually the growth, which was lower before, the market was stable, except for India. So why am I confident? Because our growth in terms of market shares, it's a solid growth, and we have increasing margins. So not because of an aggressive political policy. So I think this is my main activity. I think that this, in the short term, will give us the possibility to make unprecedented acquisitions. So organic growth given by market shares or a growth through takeovers, acquisitions that will be absorbed quickly. In both scenarios, I see a positive scenario for Fila. You have to consider that at the moment, I am personally working on 6 targets at least, but I think we have about 10 targets all over the world. And of course, when we have to close down the deals, let's say we will go by priorities. We have also to consider the financial resources available. But in the ideal world, there is both space for an organic growth in line with the last 5 years. Maybe not like this year, because this year's growth is extraordinary. But I think we will now consolidate India. We expect India to grow with a double digit, but with a 2 or a 3 figure in front. And then, of course, more acquisitions will come along the way. So in about 3 to 5 years, I have no other choice than, you know, being very optimistic. I'm sorry, I forgot the second question, the second point. The second question was on margins. If you grow in different countries, what about the margins? Well, our strategic growth occurs both in the school sector, where I think our margins, although by decimal figures we are growing, there are still some inefficiencies in our system. We have lost 5 to 6 subsidiaries. So the EBITDA will be better. These are something we can afford. So the school sector is growing. And also the growth for the art and craft will improve the margins for sure, because usually here we work with a higher gross margin than the school sector. So once we have integrated them in our system, I believe that we will have good expectations in terms of a further good growth in terms of margins. Alessandro Cecchini, Equita. I just have a very quick follow-up on the working capital. Some time ago, we did mention a new ERP system for a kind of a more centralized management, more focused on the working capital, also in terms of monitoring for the different divisions and subsidiaries all over the world. So I would like you to tell us a little about the strategy for the working capital, because I think that there might be space for improvement in this matter. Luca Pelosin, for the answer. Good evening to all of you, first of all. We have foreseen a first analysis on this project for the implementation of a group ERP. It will be a project. The project will, for of sure, require some time to get all the different subsidiaries on board. We will go according to priorities, according to the size of the subsidiaries, according to the markets. And as soon as we can manage at the central level, let's say, most of our subsidiaries, This, of course, will give us great benefits both in terms of efficiency of the supply chain, because we will have integrated the forecasting and the planning, the warehouse, and also the inventories in the group, and also the possibility to be, let's say, on the market, to be stronger on the market for contracts and agreements in order to consolidate the needs and the demand of each single plant in order to work on costs and increase margins on our products. And last remark, very quickly, for Stefano, in view of the tax rate, the normalized tax rate for the 9 months, your indication for the year, for the full year? So, 9 months, we said that the difference was 0.3, 0.4 improvement compared to, so 35 compared versus to 36 in 2014. I think that the gap will improve a little, but will stay maximum 1 point, percentage point. And by the end of the year, these 3 months, as I mentioned before, the deferred active in Germany and the non-impact of the first 5 months for ACE in our for the equity. So this effect will improve, but I do not think it will be over 1 percentage point. Thank you. Something I would like to mention, talking about the market share, I have Italy, I have numbers for Italy, but if you remember the presentation of the first semester, the first half of the year, there was a market share color pan, so about 56%, and this market share in the third quarter went to 57.6, so confirming what Massimo was saying before, a constant increment on the market. No other questions at the moment. So I confirm, no questions. Please press star 1 for to make a reservation if you want to ask your question. No questions. So I would like to thank you all for your attention, and have a nice evening to all of you. Bye-bye. Thank you.